at it, looking at it, looking at it. But what God put in my spirit wasn't exactly making a full connection. It made a connection. I can go to 49 and preach the same message. But I will lack how God wants to stick it. How he wants to really make it firm. So I had no choice but to back up to 48 again. And we're not going to waste any time here. I got a lot to cover. And I want to cover as much as possible today. My goal is to take you from Genesis to Revelations today. Amen. On a quick sprint. So our ears got to be tuned in to what God is saying. Amen. And what he's going to show us today. We'll revolutionize how you look at every message from here on in your life. Every study you ever do, every song you ever sing, you're going to have a revolutionized thought process when you see what God plainly established right from the beginning. Amen. So, 48, we're going to take the text from verse 7. Now, this verse 7's been bothering me since I read it. Because it seems like it's put there, and what do we need to know about this language in verse 7 that really goes with everything that we're talking about? It's kind of like it's odd. It sits there. And it's been the kind of this bump that's been sitting there on a flat surface. And it's been really catching my eye. You know, if you have that condition that you want, if you're sanding something and there's a spot and you got to sand that spot out, or if you're mopping and there's a spot, maybe you just mop like that, your spots don't bother you, but this stuff bothers me. Because it's like an odd place for him to talk about this. Because it seems like it's don't go with the rest of the context. And so I've been thinking about it, and I said, well, God, unless you show me, I won't know. It bothers me. I'm not being bothered in a bad way. I want to know. And I left it, I went on, and I preached the entire chapter 48 a couple times. And I said, well, I'm done with 48, I'm in 49. And in 49, I got to Dan. And when I got to Dan's prophetic word over him, made me go back to 48. I couldn't get out of it. Because I said, okay, now God, here's another time. We got a bump here, and I'm going to go deal with this bump. But you got to open my understanding. Now, he done previously gave me the information, but I couldn't make the connection. So I'm going to read 48 and show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to read chapter 48, verse 7. And I, when I came to Padan, Rahel died beside me in the land of Canaan. We almost don't need that information. That's what I'm talking about. Because what does that have to do with the story? God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to tell us something. She died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way. Everybody say the way. The way. Say, Pastor's going to talk about the way today. That's why I had him sing that song. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Right. One way. Mm-hmm. When there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath. Let me see that. Not once, but twice. He tells us something. Now, I'm taking this way that he's talking about purely from a spiritual stance, not a natural stance. I'm not talking about a physical way. I'm talking about a spiritual way. Would that be okay that I take that from the spiritual element of how God's describing it? Because this verse, on all accounts, without it, the storyline continues. It don't change. There's no shift. But this verse is trying to give us some information. So we're going to make a list. How many know lists are important when you're going to study the Word of God? So you might want to take this. I'll teach and preach at the same time today. But I gotta inform you about this because sometimes folks are still troubled by certain things. I hope that I can settle your troubles when it comes to what God's word says, period. It says it clearly. No ambiguity here. He clearly states this. So we're going to make a list. The list is going to be, the key to the list is going to be way, your way, his commands. Way, your way, his commands. If you can't write it fast enough, don't worry, I'll give it all to you. And do a midrash. So we're going to look at this to help us understand that it's not every single way occurrence. I want you to know I can't do every one of them. But I'm going to do the ones that are going to help me drive home the point that I'm making today. This is not every way occurrence. There's way mentioned thousands of times. I don't have thousands of verses, but I might have hundreds. Come on. So, can we get through hundreds of verses today? Maybe. So, we're going to look at this together. First of all, we're going to look at the Torah. Why are we going to look at the Torah? Because that's the beginning of the book. If we're trying to get information about something, we're going to first look at the beginning of anything. If you get an item in the mail, you first look at the instructions on how you put it together. Or you can do it the other way. Just disregard the instructions, put it together, and you may or may not get what you want. You may have something else. But you can get something. And you're going to get something out of church. You get something, but if you know the way, you get a whole lot more. Amen. You know why folks' faith struggles? They don't understand the way. You know why it seems like your testimony's lacking? You haven't fully understood the way. Everything hinges upon us understanding how God communicates to us. If you don't know how he communicates, you're not going to, what is your communication with God? You can't develop it on your own. That's right. He has a way. He's developed a way to communicate to us. So I want you to go to Genesis. We're going to take this kind of slow at first. Then we'll speed up as we go. Now, I was going to go a different route, but during soul service, I always leave it up to God. I got enough information to do a six-week series on this. But I'm trying to get it to you in one setting. So I said, God, it's up to you. I'll do it anyway. Now, this is how I approach a study. I read all these verses first that I'm about to read to you. So I'm going to take it in the way that is I was helping teach you how to study this topic. Is how I'll approach this. So I read all the verses that pertain to what my topic is that I can find, and I create a foundation because everything else passes away, but the word stands. Amen. I can build you a house today on this way message. I can make it fancy. I can give you inspiration, but you'll never learn how to live in that house where there's no foundation. The winds will come and be vehemently against it, and I don't want to sand build a message for you. I didn't come here to sand build. We're going to dig down. We're going to get on a firm foundation. Then we're going to build a house. There's some key things I think we missed along the way. I know I have. I can't speak for you, but I've missed some things when it comes to really understanding what he's talking about when he says the way. And I consider myself a pretty good student of the word, but I'm telling you, I'm admitting to you, I've missed some things by maybe not taking enough time or not reading slow enough when it comes to this way that he talks about. And so let's look at it together. We're going to learn some things today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. It says, and he drove the man out, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. What was happening here? He's guarding the way to the tree of life. Now, I talked about the tree of life. I was on a pretty good series on the tree of life not long ago. But I never mentioned this. That's why I'm saying I missed some things. You get focused a lot of times on one side of it, and sitting right beside of it, connected to it, there's an important principle that you can't miss. And so I want to fix that today by showing you what it says here. How do you know we can talk about the tree of life, but there's a way to it?
That's right.
Do you know about that way to it? If you don't know about the way to it, you're not on it.
Come on.
You can't assume that you know about the tree of life or that you partake from the tree of life. You can't assume that. There's a way to it. Yeah. And so we're going to learn about the way to the tree of life. Is this already important? Amen. You better believe it is. It's the way to the tree of life. Now, he prevents them to getting on this way. Why? What does he prevent? Adam and Eve. They're prevented from getting on the way to the tree of life by a messenger with a flaming sword that turns every way, every direction you can think of, that man can think of, is not the way. He don't need you to think about the way to make the way up in your own mind. He already provided the way. Is that all right with God? Is it all right that God made the way?
Hallelujah.
And any other way is a false way. I'm going to say that again. Any other way is a false way. You don't get to make the way because the flame, it turns in every direction. Every way is protected. It doesn't matter who thinks it up, what generation they think it up in, who are they, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what their title is, how much money they got. You can't make the way. He made the way already. Now, when did he have this way of the tree of life? How soon did he have it? I'm reading into Genesis 3. That's where I'm at. And he's talking about the way to the tree of life. We're being prevented from the way of the tree of life. Now look at 6, Genesis 6. And Elohim looked upon the earth and saw that it was corrupt. For all flesh hath corrupted their way. How do you know that man has his way? And what happened in man's way? It was corrupt. If it's a corrupt way, they corrupted their way on the earth. If it's corrupt, is it leading to the tree of life? What's the goal? Where we're heading for? What we do work for God for? Why are we getting service? We put ourselves in the service for God. What is it for? What's the goal here? We want to eat from the tree of life. But then we got to get on the right path to the tree of life. Now we know man's way is corrupt. So that's an elimination automatic. Man can't have a way that they think of that's going to get them to the tree of life. And how many know that happens thousands of times? Man comes up with some system that says this is the way to God. Look at Genesis 16, verse 7. This is one of them bumps, but we have to carefully look at it. And the messenger of Yahweh found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. This is speaking of Hagar. Now she became pregnant. Not by her fault. This was the fault of Abram. Being impatient with God. How many of God had a way already provided? But he couldn't wait for it. He was impatient. So he impregnated the handmaiden or the servant of Sarai, and because she got pregnant, Sarai got mad. Yeah. You gave her to Abram. Yeah. You did. You said, take my handmaiden, and maybe I can have a son through her. You did that, Sarai, and now you're mad at her that she got pregnant. And she was harsh to her, treated her bad. So what did Hagar do? She left. She's in the wilderness. You think, well, you know, if God's hand wasn't on everything, he just left her dying in the wilderness. If she'd have died, there'd have been no story about her. She died, period. But God sent a messenger. That gets my attention. God sent a messenger, and he sends this messenger, and he found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to shore. Now, shore means wall. Where was she headed on her own? What she would run into? A wall. She had no hope. So what did the messenger do? So return back to Sarah and humble yourself before her. That's what he told her. So sometimes you're up against a wall. And you have to humble yourself and return back to the source. If you don't return back to the source, you're never going to get in the way. But she's on her way. She's on her way. And she's headed to shore, which means wall, and she's not going to have any success. Now, did Hagar's descendants, Ishmael, have success in the world? They're the second most populated group of people on this earth. Some good, some evil. And that's in every group. I don't know. They got good Israelites and bad Israelites. They got good Hebrews and bad Hebrews. So before we finger point, I'm showing you what God did when she was on the way to shore. Right. So he's telling us if she keeps heading in that direction, she's just going to run up against a wall. Certain death. She's not going to survive. I'm showing you this because I want you to see this language. Now I want you to look at 18. This is where it's going to settle down for you. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I have known him. Who's speaking here? Who's the speaker? Jehovah. He says, I have known him. Is it important that he knows you?
Amen.
It's very important. Now, what you know him for is important also. You can be known as a liar. You can be known as a thief. You can be known as a good man. You understand? What you know him for is important also. So, when he knows all of them for is a good thing. We'll explain, the verse explains it to us. For I have known him so that he commands his children and his household after him to guard the way of Jehovah. How many see that? What does he do? He guards the way of Jehovah. That's key.
That's right.
Now we just step out the physical, talking about the way, and we're stepping into the more spiritual element of what the way is dealing with. God already established a way to have covenantal agreement with him. It's been established for us. We don't get to decide that. Nobody does. It doesn't matter what your church name is, who your pastor is. You and I don't get to decide it. He decided it for us. Now we have to align ourselves with the way of your... You have to line yourself up with the way of Jehovah. Because a lot of people say, well, we don't know what to do, so we came up with this. You do know what to do if we want to read it correctly. We know exactly what to do, and he tells us. Now, Adam, we can say Adam didn't know what to do. Well, he was living in the pagan land, serving other gods, and then God called him out of that and said, leave your father, your mother, your kindred, and go to the place. I'll show you. I'm going to show you a different way. You know that way. He already knew that way. But God's telling us the wrong way. I'm going to show you the ways of Jehovah. And how many know when you come into the faith, regardless of what your knowledge is, what level, you still have to go through the ways of Jehovah. You're not getting around that. You might come in and say, well, you know, I wasn't raised that way. None of you was raised that way, but we have to align ourselves with the ways of Jehovah.
Amen.
We can talk about how we was raised till we're blue in the face. What does that matter? What are you doing today? Are you walking in the ways of Jehovah? Because this is important to him, and it's so important. Jehovah said to Abram, I know him. Is it important to be known by Jehovah?
Amen.
You better believe it is. Because
right.
When you're praying, you want to say, that's Josh.
Amen.
That's Scott. Listen, y'all, that's Scott. Get ready. We're about to answer this for him.
Amen.
It's important to be known by him. Because
yeah.
You walk in the way. And if we don't make our mind up, we still, you know, I don't know what they used to call that, but some people say, Philly footing around. You got to get your feet on the right path and make your mind up. You're going to walk in Jehovah's ways or you're going to walk in your own ways. You're going to leave this building doing one of them.
Amen.
One of them you're going to do. You don't have to tell nobody. God will know.
Right.
But he has a way, and that way he's going to explain to us. Now watch what he says. He says, so that he commands his children and his household after him to guard the way of Jehovah. What does that way look like? To do righteousness and right rulings, automatic, when you're in his way, so that Jehovah bring Abraham what he has spoken to him. You want God to bring the vision to fruition? He's not going to do it until we get this settled.
Amen.
This has to be settled. You can't be speaking out of one side of your mouth about the principles of Jehovah and what Jehovah wants you to do, and on the other side of your mouth, you're speaking something else.
Uh-huh.
It can't happen. You got to get in the way. No matter what you grew up knowing, what you grew up hearing, doesn't matter today. What matters is today.
Amen.
Are we going to go Jehovah's way, or we're going to go back to yesteryear's belief system?
Uh-huh.
He has a way, and I'm convinced that we still have yet to tap into the way of Jehovah, how he operates, and he's telling us this is how I operate. There's no room for wiggling here. Now look at Exodus 33. I already got through Genesis. Isn't that fast? Exodus 33. Verse 13. Says, and now please, if I have found favor in your eyes. This is Moshe. If I have found grace, so it starts with grace. Anything you do when it comes to Yehovah's ways, notice how he boxes it in. He makes bookends. There's a bookend verse. I'm going to show you the bookend. How many know that I've talked about bookends before? You should look for those bookends. This is a bookend verse. I'm going to show you where. He said, if I have found favor or grace in your eyes, please now show me what?
Your way.
You know why? Because he has a way. You don't ask God to show you something he don't have or don't possess. He possesses a way, and he's trying to tell us what that way is, but sometimes we're hard of hearing. Sometimes we want to hear what we want to hear. And you can preach to your blue in the face. If people want to hear what they want to hear or what they're telling themselves, they're going to go right ahead and do that. Now, it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you're explaining truth to somebody and they want to believe a lie. That's frustrating. But listen, if Moshe didn't believe God had a way, why would he ask him to show me your way? I know that my way, I wound up killing the man. You understand? Are you hearing me? I wound up killing because I got mad at him. But what's your way? We got to ask for his way. How many want his way? This is life-changing. This is revolutionary stuff here that will change your life forever. And he says, let me know you. If you know his way, one of the things you know him. Knowing God is important. Just like he's knowing you is important. Knowing God is important, and being known of God is valuable. And let me know you so that I find favor. There's the bookend. Starts with grace, ends with grace. In between, everything that happens is in between. And he puts it right between grace. That, you know what that tells me? Ain't a one of you in here can't have this. I don't care what you did in your life, what mistakes you made. You think that matters to God? He put grace in front of you and grace behind you and said, everything in the middle is yours if you want it. I don't know what else I can do but grace you. I don't know what else I can do but show that I'm for you, not against you. I put grace on both sides of you. It's called a bookend in Scripture. So now I find favor in your eyes and consider that this nation is your people. Moshe was pleading with God. What are you pleading for? The way. Your way. Not my way. He knew he couldn't do this task that he was commanded to do without going God's way. Never would have worked. And Moshe was up against some serious problems. Difficulty. Who goes in the front of Pharaoh and tells Pharaoh, let my people go, God said. Without being slaughtered. He has all them feelings just like we have. He had all them feelings. All those worries and anxiety was no doubt overwhelming him, but he had to stand up in the way of God and say, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Now we finished with Exodus. We're going to Deuteronomy. I'm going to go through this pretty fast. Again, I said it early on, I'm not covering all the ways in the Scripture, but I'm going to cover most of them that I could possibly do. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. And you shall guard to do as Yehovah Elohim has commanded you. There. If he's, you got to do what he commands you to do. If Yehovah, if he's following his way, and he tells me, do this, I should be doing that. I shouldn't argue with God. Yet we still have people arguing with God over some of the things God said. And people get offended about what God says. But we're talking about we following him. We do what he said. You know, if you start soft, oh yeah, I'm following him. Oh yeah, I love him. We always start soft. Everybody's on board with that. Oh, you do what he said. Uh-oh. Or you do what he commands you to do. Or you keep your Shabbat. Or you're getting ready for Passover. Or you doing those things. Because this is part of his way.
That's right.
We didn't write this in here. It's not, some people get, they think you personally went in and you changed all this stuff. He made this very clear early on. This is how you want to have a covenantal relationship with me. This is how you do it. He established it, not me. But sometimes when I'm being a speaker, you might think, well, I come up with this. I didn't come up with this. I'm showing you that if you're a student of the Scripture, you're going to come to the same conclusions I came to. You're going to find these same verses. They're right there in print for us to look at them together. This is God's word to us. Now watch what he says. And you shall guard to do as Yehovah, your Elohim, has commanded you. Not Jesse. Not Scott. As Yehovah, your Elohim, has commanded you. You got to guard to do those things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do not turn aside to the right or to the left.
Amen. That's right.
You know why I have to throw that statement in? Because that's what we do.
Yep.
Today we're good.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I get on food laws, and boy, you in it, boy, and all of a sudden, until you get hungry. You know, here I got your attention, but you get it by yourself and you're hungry, you're not gonna eat anything. You understand?
Yeah.
When does it change? Uh-huh. Doesn't change. And so we have to, because we want to turn to the right and the left. It's what we do. We avoid the reality. The reality is head on. So if I go this way, I don't have to face that head on reality. If I go this way, you know, we just kind of, everybody's juking the message. You ought to play football. You ought to be a running back. Is that not a fact? But we gotta stay in the way. And so this is important. Now look at chapter 5, verse 33. He tells us, walk in all the ways which Jehovah Yahweh has commanded you. How many?
All.
All the ways which Jehovah Yahweh has commanded you. He says, walk in all the ways. Now, walking is part of the way, because the way speaks of a path. If you look up this word, it's darik.
Yeah.
Talk about path. What are you doing, path? You walk on them. So, what are you doing in life? How many know you got up this morning, you started walking in the kingdom?
Amen.
You had to get ready. You had to put yourself here. Right. There was no, nothing came, got you. You put yourself here. So, you're doing the actions, but then you get here and you turn your ears off. We quit hearing what God is saying. He's trying to encourage you. What you're doing is what he wants you to do, but you got to follow through and you got to finish it out. You got to walk in his ways. When you walk in his ways, that means when this service is over, you're still walking in his ways. Come Sunday, you're walking in his ways. Come Monday, you're walking in his ways. Come Tuesday, you understand? You continually walking out. In the New Testament describes it this way, walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how it's described. Same message. Same meaning. You have to walk it out. And everybody that didn't walk it out in the Scripture, they all faltered. Everybody. Not one case that didn't fail when they didn't walk in the Spirit. What makes you think you're going to be different? So I'm telling you, you're headed for disaster in your life if you don't walk this thing out. And that's a reality. There's no case in the Scripture. There's no case you can go to where a person who refused to walk this thing out, like he said, would have had success. You're not going to be the exception. So you know what I would do, right? I'd walk it out. I'd walk it out because of the right thing. He said, walk in all the ways which Jehovah Yahweh has commanded you. The issue is when he commands us. We don't want to be told nothing. We got a way, and we don't even know we have a way. We say, we make slang by it. Boy, he's got his ways. We use it as slang. We had no idea that was built on biblical foundation. We can't even, nobody would ever, you know, say, well, you're quoting Scripture. Next time somebody says, boy, she got her ways, well, you're quoting Scripture. What Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Come over here. Let me take you to Genesis. I'm going to take you down this list. It only takes you about an hour. You can go through all of them. Might take me a little more than an hour because I talk too much. But you can read through them quick. But we say that. Or we say, he's just like his daddy.
Oh, yeah.
These are all biblical principles we spew out in negative connotations. We don't even realize we're doing it. See, a positive way, you want to be just like your daddy. You want to be. He's telling you, be just like me. He's telling us that, but we use it in negative connotations. We use it in a negative way. Because God knows we only need two of them. Am I correct or not?
Yeah.
We only use the principles of the Bible in negative connotations, and we wonder why the pay gets us in trouble. And then we anchor it with a valve, and it comes to fruition, and we go, well, I don't know why it ain't happening for me. For some reason, it's just not working for me. You spoke it in your life. You spoke these negative things in your life. Quit doing that. He's telling us we have to walk in his ways. Now he says, walk in all the ways which Yahweh has commanded you, so that you live and it be well with you, and you shall prolong your days in the land which you possess.
Amen.
You want this thing, you don't just want to possess something, you want to prolong your days in the land you possess.
Right.
You want to enjoy it. How many want to enjoy it? I do.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy it. He's not finished with me yet. He's not done yet. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I'm commanding you, What words? He's commanding. The words of the way. Commands of how God does things. Today shall be in your heart. These words which I'm commanding you shall be in your heart. That's why I'm trying to preach them today, so they get in your heart. These words shall be in your heart. Verse 7, and you shall impress them upon your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Now we always apply that term to a physical way, just in how language goes, but that's not what God's applying to this. Because he's talking about words and command that he commands us. Then he says, when you walk by the way. Mm-hmm. He's talking in the spiritual element. He's talking about the way he made, the way he provided. Because
right.
you can read all of six and you can completely get off track on seven. Mm-hmm. When you apply it just in the natural. Understand, he's talking about the way. He says, when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. What are we to walk by every day of our life? By the way. We're to walk. We're to walk by that path that's been given for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Therefore, you shall guard the commands of Yehovah Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. Let me see that. His ways are important. Does his ways supersede or override our ways? Absolutely it does. What about the scholar's ways? Absolutely it does. What about your favorite preacher? Absolutely it does. You know, there's a big difference between my ways and his ways.
Right.
I'm trying to align myself in his ways. What he says. Listen, this is what the Lord reminded me. I put my head on my pillow last night. And as soon as my head hit the pillow, he said, I've searched the whole world to find a man whose heart is perfect toward me. Because your heart is perfect toward me, want all you want, dream all you want, I'll build it.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we forget. That's what he said. I didn't say that. That's what he said. And so God is looking for people who get their heart right before him. Your whole life ought to be evolved around his kingdom principles. Everything that God wants. Because you can go and do whatever you want. Everybody has the rights to do that. It's your life. You do whatever you want. You make your own decisions. You can decide to come, not come. You can do whatever you want. But just know this. God's given you the opportunity to do it his way.
Right.
When you don't get the results you want because you did it your way, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at everybody else. And you know what people do? They get mad because somebody's trying to do it his way.
Yep.
I've been mad at before. I might still be mad at today. But I'm going to do it God's way.
Amen.
It won't be the first time people have been mad at me. But we're going to do it his way.
Amen.
Why? Because his way is the best way.
Right.
His way is the only way. One way. And so we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Therefore, you shall guard the commands of Yehovah, your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah.
It matters what he says. When it don't matter what God says, we're all in trouble.
Right.
It matters what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what is Yehovah Elohim asking of you? But to fear Yehovah Elohim and to walk in all his ways. And to love him and to serve Yehovah, you ought to live with all your heart and with all your being. I don't know if it can get much clearer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see we're establishing? So I want you to see the ground, right? We took the ground, we took the grass, we pulled the grass off the ground. And now we're digging a foundational trench. And we're about to put the rebar in. Do you see this is how you build a foundation for a message. We're about to put the rebar in it. And before we know it, we're going to pour the concrete in this thing. We're going to have something to build a house on. We all want the house. We all want the finished project. But you can't put one ahead of the other. You have to get the foundation laid. And that's what I aim to do today. So you'll see what it says here in the scripture. So he said we're going to do in all his ways to love him, to serve him, serve Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, with all your being. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. To guard the commands. What do you got to do? You got to guard the commands. Why? It's his way. It don't work no other way. You got to guard the commands. They're very serious. If God says, thou shalt not, you shall not be doing that. If you are, you're not guarding the commands. It's plain and simple. To guard the commands of Yehovah, his laws, which I command you today for your who?
Good.
For your good. For your good. That's why he's doing this for us. Not for... Let me just tell you, God don't need me. But we need him. And I'm thankful that he put grace on both sides of me. He gave me an opportunity to serve him. But if I'm not going to serve him the way he asked, then he'll move somebody else in to do it. Somebody will stand up and have faith. Trust me. Not be afraid, because if you think this, if you think it's easy to speak about this the first time, I sat on this for a year. Just because you found out this year don't mean there wasn't nothing brand new. I sat on this in my spirit because I knew God was dealing with me concerning what we've been teaching. We've been teaching something, but we're not living it. We have 7 years to get something ready before the famine comes, and what we're doing, nothing. And I was convicted of it during that time, and I said, well, God, I got to change it. We got to change something. But I don't, this is way big. We're a little church. You give all the excuses. You give them all. And people are not serious about the church they already got. How are we going to do something big that's way bigger than us when they're not even serious about where they are now? Because at the end of the day, you got to look at what you're working with. And I called you all skilled labor. I called you eagles last week. And some of you are still talking to chickens. It's not good enough for me to say what I believe you are. You got to tell yourself. You got to look in the mirror. You're an eagle.
Amen.
Eagles don't consult with chickens on how to fly, because they don't fly. What are they going to tell you about flying? Nothing. They're only going to discourage you. Man, come on and hang out. We bird down here, we just eat scraps. You know, whatever they throw, we good. We love scraps. Chicken eat anything. But the eagle says he what? He's looking for that pristine trout on that lake. And he's got the ability, he's got the eyesight, he's got everything to go and get it out.
Amen.
You do too. You have the ability, you have the eyesight, you have to know how to go and get it. You can soar, you can see things. When you get up, you elevate, you can see things. You know, when you operate like a chicken, you get easily offended. Anybody can say, I'm already offending you. Bok, 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 bok. But eagles don't get offended. You know why? They soar above the problem. They soar above the situation. They soar above the words. They don't let it get to them. They understand that principle. Now, I don't know why God had me say that again, but it must have been needed.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 11. Where is for your good? I just read that to you. Verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. What are you getting before you today? A blessing or a curse? Some of you want the blessing. That's what was set before you today, the blessing or a curse. Whatever one you choose today is the one you're going to live by. The blessing when you do what? Obey the commands of Yehovah Elohim, which I commanded you today. So you say, Pastor, God's, you mean Yehovah's commanded us to do that? He might not be commanding you, but he commanded me.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it his way.
Amen.
Just like he commanded me to be doing what I put myself in service. You think this was my choice? Not a chance this was my choice. But I had to decide if I do it my way or his way. I didn't decide to be a preacher. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But it was his way.
Amen.
And I came with all my excuses, all my inabilities. And he said, just, you want to do it my way? You can do it your way. Either, I had a choice that day. I could have stained white boots, shrimp until I couldn't stand up. That would have been my way. But he had a way.
Right.
He had a way. And sometimes we spend our lifetime fighting his way. You can't fight his way. It's the only right way there is. You have to obey his commands. Verse 28, and the curse, if you do not obey the commands. Well, is it automatic? Absolutely. If you don't obey, it's automatic. It's a curse. What does curse represent? How do you define curse? missing the blessing. It's automatic. It's by default. You take the definition of curse, it simply means missing the blessing. If the blessing is not there, you're under a curse automatic by default. Because you got to do it His way. And His way comes with blessings. Amen? Amen? How many times we can see that in the scripture? That His way comes with blessings. We see it over and over and over again. Now watch what He says. The curse, if you do not obey the commands of Yehovah, your Elohim, but turn aside from the what? Way which He commands you. Now, if you're telling me that I haven't convinced you yet that the command and the way is the same thing, they use synonymous with each other, and so what He did, so just in case we thought that was not what He was saying, He put it all in the same statement. Just in case we were struggling with that, he says, the curse if you do not obey the commands of Yehovah Yahweh, but turn aside from the way which I commanded you today to go after all the mighty ones which you have not known. When you're on any other way besides the way that Yehovah made, you're chasing idols. You're going in a direction you don't know. You're just like Hagar about to run into a wall. And good thing for the messenger to come and save her, because she was on her way to the wall. Nobody wants to go on their way to the wall. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. He says, walk after Yehovah. What does it mean to walk after Yehovah? That means He passed and I pass right where He passed. I'm in the path He's on. I'm in Darik right behind Him. I'm walking after Him. He passed, I pass. He turns, I turn. He stops, I stop. Walk after Yehovah. Is this helping you?
Amen.
For you ought to hear Him and fear Him. What do you got to do? You got to give respect to Him. And guard His commands. And obey His voice. And serve Him. And cling to Him. I mean, we were told this. We just got. I was sitting there. I always listen to a previous speaker because I'm still trying to get an answer. And I'm saying, okay, God. If He starts talking about way and clinging and all this, we on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening. So it's important that you do your due diligence to be a fine-tuned with God. Just like last week in the singing, it's important. We got to be saying the same message.
Amen.
We
got
to be preaching the same thing that God wants us to hear.
Amen.
We can't be on different. We tune in and you're on the wavelength over here and I'm on the wavelength over here. It never works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening careful. And I need to hear certain things. And when I hear those things, it starts to reverberate with inside of me, and I know that God is doing something. I know that we're right where we need to be. I know that because you always, when you're talking about faith and big projects, you doubt will come in and incubate inside of you and hatch.
Yep, that's right.
You hatch doubt, you're in trouble. But you're always trying to say, God, if you'll give me this or give me that, whatever it is, He'll do it because He's faithful. Now let's go to the prophets. We covered the Torah. Now we're going to look at the prophets. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. He said, also ask for me, for be it for me that I should sin against Yehovah in ceasing to pray for you, but I shall teach you the good and straight way. Are you hearing this? He said, I'm not going to I don't want it to be far for me that we should sin against Yehovah. He said, I know my place, and I'm going to teach you the good and straight way. Why is the prophets talking about this stuff? Because they learned it from the Torah. This is a trickle-down effect. And we're going to find out that this stuff goes on all the way to Revelation. It never shifts. Just because the Messiah showed up, and now He claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. You think it shifts? You think He's saying something we never heard before? We might have never read it because we read so fast and we have no interest in the Old Testament anymore, so we're not reading that.
No.
So we take what He said, but we don't know why He said it.
Right.
If we can't connect Him to the foundation, then what He said doesn't matter. That's strong words.
Right.
I said what Yeshua said didn't matter if we don't connect Him to the foundation.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I'm showing you where it's connected. He says that I may teach you the good and straight way. Verse 24, only fear Yehovah Only fear Yehovah, not in being afraid, but showing respect, a reverential respect. And you shall serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what marvels he has done for you. We have to consider that. What marvels he has done for you. Now Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. This is quoted in the New Writings. Verse number 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way. What are you doing? Preparing what? The way. Now we know John comes and he fulfills this prophecy.
Right.
He prepares the way. So, a way of who? Of Yehovah. Right. How many see that? How many know we never shifted? The way is always talking about Yehovah's way. Nobody else's. Nobody else's. Make straight in the desert a highway for Elohim. What did he say? Make straight a highway. Now this language, we don't understand, but this language goes back to the straight and narrow gate that our Mashiach talked about. This language. And John is preparing the way. What's the first thing you got to do to prepare a way, according to John? What you got to do? If you, because you're already on a way. You're on a path. When you come, when you show up, you're on a path. Sometimes that path is destruction, to the wall, to whatever, a certain death, you're on a path. But he prepares a way by what? Repent. Mm-hmm. What he says? Repent.
That's right.
You can't even change paths until you repent. Mm-hmm. You got to test Shuvah. You got to return back to what? The sword. Mm-hmm. Of the right. And the right way is what he describes as the way. You can't even get there. So your encounter with Yeshua is illegitimate without repentance. You can claim him. You can say, I did this in your name and that in your name. And he'll say, I never what? Knew you. Is it important to be known by him? Absolutely. It's important. But what he's telling us here, he says we have to prepare the way. And Isaiah 4, this is the prophets.
Right.
Now you think Isaiah, he's prophesying this. Oh, I don't know what I'm prophesying this for. He didn't really ask questions to Yehovah. He said, whatever you tell me to say, I'm going to do. You think I got the rights to question God when God drops something in my spirit? I don't have. I can give every excuse. I could have chosen not to say anything, and you'd have never knew. You'd have never knew. This wouldn't even exist. You'd have never knew. I could choose that. I have the power to choose that. But then I would be off the way, and that is important to me. And I'm never going to give that up for nobody for no reason. If I wanted to give that up, I should have done that a long time ago when I was young, and I still had some things I could do in life. But right now, I'm almost 60 years old. The way is important to me. It's valuable to me. And if I get off the way now, how terrible that would be. I could have chose not to say anything. I could have been ate up in my own mind by fear and doubt and say, God, there's no way I'm saying that. Now, it's easy to say when you got everything you need. It's easy to say, give this prophecy when you got $1 million in your pocket. You don't even have to have faith for that. It's already there. But when you don't, you got to trust God. I'm not telling you to trust God. I'm trusting God. Do you understand? I'm not telling you to walk the path. I'm walking the path. We got to walk it together. But I am asking you to keep the faith. I am asking you to speak in a positive way, not a negative way. Speak blessed, not being cursed. I'm asking you for that because it's important to God. Isaiah 55 verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways. There's a distinction here. There's a distinction between your ways and his way. How many see that? How many see the distinction? Neither are your ways my ways. They're not the same. So as much as you believe in yourself and you're confident in your abilities to do whatever, your ways are not his ways. Let's just clear that up real quick. You're not going to get here on your ways. Matter of fact, you're going to have trouble to schedule this. You're going to have trouble just to visit this, doing it your way. But when you do it his way, you're propelled. He says go, you go.
Amen.
You can't fight it because it's his way. You understand that? Now, I don't know the details behind everything? I don't know that. But do you have to have details to have faith? Mm-hmm. You know, if we see it, we don't have to hope for it no more, he says. And so therefore, there's no, that statement says there's no faith there.
That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, there's no faith. It don't require faith. If I have $1 million to go and do this, it doesn't require zero faith.
Right.
All it requires is giving. That's it. But when you don't, and God says, this is the path, this is the way. This is the way I'm pulling the church in this direction. Because there's somebody, if it's one soul, he'll do it.
Amen.
And we ought to want to do it for one soul. Can I tell you we've impacted more than one already? And we don't even have it? Do you understand that? We've impacted more than one soul already. Just by our visiting and making encounters and going places and praying. We prayed for people. Laid hands, prayed for them, for miracles. God's trying to show us it's the way that he selected. And we understand that. Now this principle has nothing to do with a project. This principle is a standalone principle. It's the way God chose to have covenantal relationship with him. You can't change that. It doesn't matter if it's a project or not. This is not contingent upon a project happening or not happening. This is his way, period.
Amen.
If you do absolutely nothing, you got to go this way or you're not going to make it. My ways are not your ways, declares Jehovah. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We got to make sure that we understand clearly there's a he's making a distinction between your way and his way. God makes that distinction, not me. I have to follow along with the distinction he made. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus said Jehovah, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Everybody say old paths. Where the good way is. Because the moment you say old, it comes with a negative connotation. It's, oh, it's worn out. It's going to benefit me. So he follows it up, right? He does a follow-up. That's how good God is. Where the good way is. The old path is where the good way is. We've left the good way, and we try to find our own way. We try to find our own way, and we create religion after religion after religion until there's multiple thousands and thousands. Jeremiah 16. 6:16, I'm sorry. 6:16. Where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for yourself. But they said, we do not walk in it. Are you going to be like that? I'm not doing it. We're like children. Go clean your room. I don't want to. Well, how many know they got motivators? My mama knew about the motivator. So she'd snatch you up right away and get you motivated in the right direction to the cleaning of the room. That's just a fact. And we needed their motivation. I wonder if we need motivation here. Will we be that honest with God? Lord, I need motivation. You know, instead of saying, you know what, God, I don't understand it, but I know what your word says, and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to do it with joy and enthusiasm. I'm not going to be the one, well, I ain't doing any of it. Because I can tell you the motivation is going to come. And they didn't walk in it. He said they refused to walk in it. After he told them, how plainly can you be told what he says in Jeremiah 6:16, and you not do it? Now let's go to the Psalms. We're moving right along here. Thank you for being attentive. Psalms, your ways and commands. We're going to talk about your ways and commands in Psalms 1. We talk about the way of righteousness and the wicked. Verse 1, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who shall not walk in the counsel of the wrong. Shall not walk in the counsel of the wrong. nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Yehovah. What's the Torah of Yehovah? What we have established, when I say the Torah of Yehovah, am I still saying it's the way of Yehovah? Am I still saying that? I hope you think that, because that's exactly what I'm meaning. That's what I mean. When you see Torah of Yehovah, it means the way of Yehovah. That's what he chose to put on paper so we can read about him. That's what he chose. I didn't choose that. He chose that, and I have to follow suit. But his delight is in the Torah of Yehovah, and he meditates in his Torah day and night. I'm convinced that people need to get to more of that day and night stuff. Day and night opens up your understanding, because it shows a hunger. And the blessing of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled, actually works. When the master said that, he meant that. He experienced that. How do you know Yeshua had a day and night relationship with the Most High, his Father? You have to have a day and night relationship also. You go to bed at night. How many go to bed at night, right? You go to bed, you put your head on the pillow. You don't just go out. You got to have at least a second. At least a second before you pass out. And in that second, you ought to give him praise. You ought to honor him. You ought to say, God, I hope I didn't embarrass you today. I hope I did everything you asked for me today. And I hope that you keep your hand on me as I sleep and wake me up in the morning with a fresh understanding of who you are and what you want from me. Everybody got that time. Everybody's got it. That's day and night. You're meditating on the word of God. You're saying, God, I want you while I'm sleeping. I don't even want to go to sleep. I just want to stay up, because you want more and more of being in his presence. Well, let me tell you, while you're sleeping, he'll do things. He'll move you. He'll give you new things. There's new things that's happening. And I'm so thankful that God is ministering to people all over. All over, he's touching people's life. One of these days, I better tell you all the stuff that God is doing in people's life that I hear about, because they have a day and night relationship. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of waters that yields its fruit in the season, whose leaves does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. But the wrong are not so. What does he mean by the wrong are not so? Those on a path that's not his way. They're on a different path. They're like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wrong shall not rise in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yehovah knows the way of the righteous. What's the way of the righteous? It's his way. It's the way of the righteous. There's no other way. That's why you don't have to explain some other way. There is no other way. Everybody understand that? He knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wrong comes to naught. Let me see that. Comes to naught. Psalms 18, verse 21. For I have guarded the ways of Yehovah and have not acted wrongly against my Elohim. I want to do that. I want to be that person. I have guarded the ways of Yehovah and have not acted wrongly against my Elohim. Psalms 25, verse 4. The Dalet says, show me your ways, O Yehovah. Teach me your paths. How many see that's synonym? They mean the same thing. When we talk about his way, it means the path. Who made the path? He did. Right. He made the path. I want you to understand this. The Most High would reach out. He reached out into the future. And he just drew a line with his finger. And he said, that's the path. That's the only way a covenantal relationship is going to happen. There's no other way. And if we don't, sometimes, and we get reborn, and so we just so happen to cross the path, and we feel a little something, and then we've been programmed to do something different, and we're going this way, and sometimes we stumble across the path. How many know we've had our people, our share of stumblers?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you're not still stumbling today. I hope you're not still stumbling. We have to stay on that path. We have to mean it with purpose. We're on this path with purpose. We have plans and a purpose. You don't have purpose if you don't have a vision. The Bible says the people without a vision perish. They run wild.
Right.
You have to have a plan. So with the plan has been given, it's been issued, and it's bigger than us. We get that. But what's bigger than God?
Oh,
What's more powerful than God? Do you understand that? So we have to, there's some things you got to do, because we don't get to do nothing. Let me tell you that. We don't get to just do nothing. Sometimes you might just make a couple phone calls, or you might print some papers, whatever it is. We don't get to do nothing. But he's going to do what you and I can't do. Because there's some things that's bigger than us, but he's going to step in and do the things that Daddy needs to do. Amen? Amen? And so we appreciate that from God and thank him for his faithfulness. For I have guarded the way of Yehovah and have not acted wrongly against my Elohim. 25, in the verse 4, the dollar. Show me your ways, O Yehovah. Teach me your paths. Verse 5, the hey, lead me in your truth. I'm still talking about the same thing. Talking about his ways. Your truth, the word, teach me, for you are Elohim, of my deliverance. On you I wait all the day. Psalms 25, verse 8, the text. Good and straight is Jehovah, therefore he teaches sinners the way. What is he teaching sinners? The way. We were all sinners. What did he teach us? The way. There's no other way to him. And we know that through Yeshua makes this claim, I am the way. That doesn't mean a different way. He's still speaking of the same thing God spoke in Genesis 3. We say it's different. It's not different. That's dispensationalism. That's nonsense. And somebody needs to say it's nonsense. It's been spread across like a plague in the church world today. That somehow the church replaced Israel. It's nonsense. You don't have to replace it. Just leave it like it says. You don't have to do anything to it. It's just as powerful when God said it the first time as him saying it around 2026. You think it changed anything? It didn't change anything. It's the way. Right. It'll always be the way. Yeshua walked in that way. Not a different, not his own way. You think when he said, I'm the way, he's his own way? He's not his own way. Right. He proved that in his ministry. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here to do. And so we see that if we just read everything Yeshua said, we wouldn't get it confused. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was speaking of the same way I'm talking about right now. And I didn't even get to the renewed writings yet. They're the same statements. So, in verse 8, good and straight is Yehovah, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The you, verse 9, he guides the meek ones in right ruins, and he teaches the meek ones his way. How many want to know his way? Well, he said he'd do it for you. You got to be meek. You got a meek and humble spirit. You know, some people in life, bad stuff happens to a lot of people. And sometimes some people get jumped on with bad. I mean, it's like a plague on their life. And then they get mad that they got jumped on and plagued. And they get angry, and they get angry with God. And they spend their entire life just bitter and angry. But let me tell you, when you get on his path, all that anger and frustration goes away. He takes the brokenness that you come broken and you feel like you've been beat up all your life. Can I tell you, he wants to put his loving arms around you and let you know you're not that person anymore. Now you're in the path. You're in the right path to success. And you can be successful. As long as you're breathing, understand you have a future. You have a future. And the song so delicately says, he's not done with you yet. Don't give up on life. I'm trying to explain to you the way to the tree of life. The way, that's in Genesis 3. Remember that. I want you to remember how far back we went to Genesis 3. The way to the tree of life. He's been speaking about the way, and I'm only in the Psalm, and he's still speaking about the same theme. That theme didn't change. How many think it's good to know this? Amen. Did I read 10? 25:10. The Kav. All the paths of Yehovah are loving commitment and truth. And those who guard his covenants and his witnesses. You have to guard the covenants and the witnesses. Amen? Very important. We're talking about this is, because this is, his way is relational. His way is covenantal. His way is not just a standalone without it being relational. When you get on his way, he's involved in you, you're involved in him. You're not on it by yourself. You're never going to be on the way that God created by yourself. Never. Psalms 37 verse 5, the gimbal. Commit your way to Yehovah and trust in Him, and He does it. There has to be an exchange to get on His path. That's why John prepares the way, and he prepares it through repentance. Psalm 77 verse 13, your way, O Elohim, is in set apartness. Who is a great El like Elohim? Notice that language that surrounds the way. He says, your way, Elohim, is in set apartness. Who is a great El like Elohim? Verse 19 of Psalm 77. Your way was in the sea, and your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. Let me see that. This is part of God sharing Himself with us. Did God always have a way? Always. God's not trying to fix a mistake. There's no contingency plan here. He always had a way. You got to know that about God. If He didn't have always have a way, then He ceases to be God. If He's just trying to fix a problem, He ain't trying to fix a problem. He always had a way. Always. So to say that this way came when Yeshua came on the scene is absolutely ridiculous. Where do you get that from, Pastor? I'm going to read it to you again. Psalm 77, verse 19. Your way was in the sea. Your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. Did I know God? Of course He knew Him. Well, what are you talking about not knowing? What is this not known? Because God always had a way. Always had a way to have a covenantal relationship with Him. His plan wasn't something that he thought of as He was going. He wasn't shifting things to make it fit. He always had a plan, always had a way. And so His footsteps were not known. Verse 11 of chapter 86, 86 of Psalms. Teach me your ways, O Yehovah. Let me walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Let me see that. So we're talking about your way, your truth, and your name. Those three things in just that one verse that have to be dealt with. Psalms 103 verse 7. He made known His ways to Moshe, His acts to the children of Israel. He made them known. Moshe knew these things. Why did Moshe know them? Because he asked God for them. I read it to you in 33. Exodus 33, I read it to you. Moshe had this encounter. Let me know your ways. Psalms 119. Verse 1. The olive. Blessed are the perfect in the way, who walk in the Torah of Yehovah. Again, these two things go together. The way and the Torah go together. So to tell me the Torah is not for the day, you think I'm going to believe you? Not a chance. When you read through these verses, you are not allowed to think down those terms. But to say that, you're not well read at all. You're very immature in the scripture, but you boast about you know this and you know that. Notice what it says in Psalms 119, verse 1, the olive. Blessed are the perfect in the way. What way he's talking about? He's talking about the way that Yehovah has given for us, the path that He made. Who walk in the Torah. You're walking where? In the Torah of Yehovah. This is plain and simple. This is clear to me. You ain't got to tell me more than twice. Now he's even said this countless times. We're looking at him, going through him. Verse 2. Blessed are those who observe His witnesses, who seek Him with all the heart. Verse 3. Yes, they shall do no unrighteousness. They shall walk in His ways. Does God have a way? Have I proved that already to you? God has a way. 119 verse 9. The bet. How would a young man cleanse his path? And you're going to tell us the answer. To guard it according to your word. Your word and your way is the same thing. Your word, your way, your Torah is the same thing. So we don't want to get rid of his word, do we? But it's amazing we want to get rid of the Torah. Uh-huh. We're the same thing. So he says in verse 32 of 119, I run the way of your commandments. Let me see that. Your commands. For you enlarge my heart. If you don't get a heart enlarged, you don't have room for this. Your heart has to be enlarged. Other than you have no room for it. You're still trying to keep trouble. You're struggling to keep up with you. You're still struggling to keep up with your stuff. Your heart hasn't been enlarged in the body to have this fit there. Don't fit there because you got too much going on. How many see that? How do you enlarge your heart? Run the way of your commands, for you enlarge my heart. That's how you do it. You understand that his way is the right way, his commands are this, and that's a synonymous statement, and it enlarges your heart. You start seeing things a lot different than you used to see them. Psalms 119:35. Make me walk in the path of your commands, for I have delighted in it. Let me see this language again. All through Psalms. Psalms 119 has a lot of this. Verse 119, verse 105, the noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let me see that. So what lights the path? That we are in the word. Because it's his way. His word is his way. His Torah is his way. His commands are his way. Verse 128 of 119. Therefore, all your orders I count as right. I have hated every false way. When you start loving what God loves, you're going to hate what he hates. You'll hate a false way and you'll admit it for yourself. I'm not on that path anymore. You were on that path, you're not on it anymore. And it changes your life forever. And so you'll see that clearly. Now the Proverbs. Proverbs 4 verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like a light of dawn that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. The path of the righteous. That's a non-existent statement that can actually be true if you're not on his path, because his path is the only righteous path. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death. So if you're on the path of righteousness, you're in the way. You understand that? You're in the way. So sometimes we feel like we're on the path of righteousness. We don't know how it applies to our life. I'm trying to show you, if you're on the path of righteousness, you're in the way. You're in his way that he's prescribed for you. Verse 19 of chapter 4. The way of the wrong is like darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. Let me see that language. Again, that language again is talking about when you get in the way that he's established, there's no death. You say, well, people die, but you're guaranteed. Everybody say guaranteed. Guaranteed. Resurrection. That ought to matter to you, especially if you have loved ones that you're no longer here with you. You ought to matter that they're going to resurrect one day. If that doesn't matter, then we're like Shaul says, we've all been the most be pitiful. This is the end. We live, we eat, we die, and it's over with. He said, but there is a resurrection. He gives that description, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, that he's driving that home, that we get it, or is it 5? 5 or 15? But he's driving that home for a purpose that we can't steal away from that. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let me see that. 16, verse 9. Proverbs. A man's heart plans his way, but Yehovah establishes his steps. How many want your steps established? I want my steps established. I don't want, I made a clear printout to everybody last week on this 5786 / 2026. And in there, I put a small service together, maybe 20 minutes, on stuff you got to claim, proclaim, stand on. I made these statements in there. It's all written in there. You say, well, I don't have a copy. You should. You should have a copy. But you got to be available for that to happen. I told Sister Nicole, I'll say the hard stuff for you. You can have a copy of it. It's for you. How you should use this in your everyday life. Everyday life, you should use that template on how you approach things. Maybe you're going in for your own. You're trying to have a bigger home, and you're going in financially on this home. You better know this stuff. You cancel yourself out before you ask the loan department for the loan. Because by what we say, you connect yourself to negatives before you even get there. And we gotta quit doing that, because this is a pay-vive year, 2026. A pay-vive year, 5786. And we're not getting around that. That's how it's going to operate. What you say is what you have. Verse 25 of 16. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of is the way of death. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. What way do you think a child should go? If you were to train him up in the way he should go, what way do you think he's talking about? You think that's just a random statement? That there's many ways in the way he should go? The way I raise my kid is not the way you raise your kid? That's what we get from it. But how do you know if you're taking it from the foundational principle, there's one way we all train our children up, and that's the ways of Yehovah. How many see it that way? Sometimes we don't see it that way. You do what you do, I do what I do. There's not a bunch of different ways to do it. If that's the case, we're going to apply that to everything. We're going to serve God the way I want to serve him, you serve him the way you want. That's not how he states it here. There's a way that he made. I didn't make it. He made it. And we have to follow that way. If not, you're not in the way. You're not on that path. How many? Two? Yeshua as the way command obedience. He commands it. It's not an option. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. Why did he come to destroy the Torah? Because it's the way. Everybody say it's the way. I established that by reading what I read to you. The Torah and the prophets is the way. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. I came to give you an explanation of it. I came to open up your understandings to it. For truly, verse 18, for truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, has that happened yet? Last I checked, we still here. Pass away when you or one tittle shall by no means pass from the way. Oh, I mean the Torah. I mean the same thing. Do you understand that? Till all be done.
Right.
When you're with him, you have arrived. How many got GPS in your car? It says you have reached your destination. We never heard that. You've reached your destination. There's going to be a time we reach our destination. We won't need to be teaching about the way anymore.
Right.
We're there.
Yep.
But we're not there yet. It has to be taught.
Amen.
It has to be understood. And so, until you hear you have reached your destination, this applies.
Amen.
This applies to our life. You haven't reached it. I haven't reached the destination. I'm on my way. But I want to make sure that I'm on the right way when I'm headed there. This is, goes back to the story. I listened to that story this week. On sometime, you got to go back to the charts and check where you are, because when you're on your way, you can get sidetracked, get lost. And you won't wind up where you thought you was going. So we have to make sure we understand this principle. Verse 19, whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands, what is these commands? What he's talking about? Same thing, by the way. And teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, that's my job. I have to do them and teach them.
Right.
Not just do them, I have to do them and teach them. He shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. I take this serious. I could have went so many different ways this morning, but I choose to teach and do them so you understand them. You'll never stand before God and say, I didn't know about the way. Nobody ever said anything about the way. I just thought, you know, you kind of feel what's right for you. You kind of feel it, and that's just it. You know, as long as you feel good about it. Did I read anything about feeling good about anything? He said, this is the path. He drew the line. You get on and stay on it, and you wind up at the tree of life. Guaranteed when you're on his path, you wind up at the tree of life. It's guaranteed. And you know who knew about that? Adam and Eve knew about that. That's why he had to send the angel down there and say, I got to stop you from getting on this path now because you're not fit for this path. You have to repent. You're not fit for the path. You have to repent. That's why John had to be sent to prepare the way. And that's Isaiah 40. That prophecy came to be when John stepped on the scene. Verse 13 of Matthew 7. Did I read 12? Well, I will read 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the Torah and the prophets. Verse 13, enter in through the narrow gate. Is the narrow gate talking about the path here? Absolutely it is. What about the Torah and the prophets? Is it talking about the way? Absolutely it is. Because the gate is wide and the way is broad, which leads to destruction. Let me see that. What does the broad gate represent? Many followers. It's a broad gate, many followers. A straight narrow gate is single file. We're not going in some broad direction. We're single file. You don't go into any vision in a broad way. Single file. He's going ahead of us and I'm following him, and there should be a train right here. Single file. We're on a straight and narrow path. You never get it done by everybody going out looking for property. Never going to happen. And everybody trying to do this. And that, it's a single file mentality because it's the way. It's the way he done. Yeshua stepped on the scene. Are we following anybody else but Yeshua? Single file. Yeshua, we're following him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He made that proclamation. Single file. So this is what this, again, is telling us. And all of this can be preached, but I don't, I'm not having enough time to preach it. Because the gate is narrow and the way is hard-pressed, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So do you think few concerns me when it comes to dreams and visions? Few don't bother me. Few can only do what few can do. But God can do anything.
Amen.
But who can be faithfully standing and usher in what God brings to pass? That's all he's looking for. He just needs a few. And you might say, well, you know, we're not smart. No, he didn't say smart. He said few.
Right.
We're not rich. He didn't say rich. He said few.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can tie this few on title because that's who we are. We're few. But God, when he steps in, changes all that. So your spot is just be a part of the few. Don't make it fewer. You get what I'm saying? We're already few. Don't make it fewer. Because you don't apply yourself to it. I thought I had a stopping spot here, but I don't. Not till Revelation. I'm sorry. I thought I could finish. I do. I'll finish the rest in Midrash. And so you know what I'm going to talk about? Because I haven't got to Acts yet. Acts is the key. Because Acts just comes out and tells you what he's talking about. And we kind of, we're trying to say we didn't know about it. Oh yeah, we knew. We knew right after Yeshua died, we knew about it. But we chose to do just what Judah did. We chose to go into Babylon, come back out, still be Judah with a Babylonian cover over him. And start adding to the Torah, adding to the way, broadening the road. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do. And Yeshua rebuked every last one of them when he done it. Christianity did the same thing. We suffer from the same issue. We get on the way, and all of a sudden we start broadening the road. When we feel like you can do this, we feel like you can do that. And we broaden the road. We take it from a narrow road to a broad road. And there's so many paths to God. And so that has to change. Amen? So we see this in the scripture. And I pray that you see it. Now, all I'm doing, remember, this service hadn't, all I'm doing is giving you the scripture foundation to give me a reason to preach on it. I haven't even finished that. I have to do that. And I started to not do that. I started to say, you know what? I'll give it to them to read on their own. And I'm just going to do my next lesson and preach on it. But I couldn't do it that way today because God wouldn't allow it. And so hopefully you understand these principles, how important they are. I think already, not finished, but already I've established some foundational principles. There is a way that the scripture talks about. And that way is perfect. That way is right. And he also says any other way leads to death. In darkness. He said that. I proved that to you reading scripture. And so to think that we don't have to stay on the way, we lost our mind. We have to stay on it. We have to, and especially when you have to operate in faith. You have to stay. So Peter is in the boat. When you're in the boat, you have some sort of security. Trust me. Being out of the boat, you lose all sense of security. I've been out the boat and I've been in the boat. Literally. And when you're out the boat, it's different. And you watching the boat drift off, it's different. You got to dig deep. So Peter's in the boat. And he said, Master, if it's you, bid me come. Now, Yeshua's, where's Yeshua? He's on the path. And it just so happens the path he's on is in the water. Did I show you in the scripture that the Most High says his path is where? In the water. Yeshua was showing out. He wasn't showing out. He was on the path. It was lesson time. Get on the water. I'm on the way. He's going to be on the water. Why? Because it's the path in which Jehovah designated him. So he said, if it's you, bid me come. So Peter gets out of the boat and lets go of the boat of security. That took a substantial amount of faith. He lets go of security, but when you do that, you better keep your eyes on a single follower that you're following. You have to keep your eyes, he had to keep his eyes on the master because now he's single file. How many got out of the boat with Peter? Single file. You might be by yourself. You get out anyway. You got to keep your eyes on the master. Because the moment you look over here, because this one said that, you're going to fall. So I want to tell you, this is not for the weak and faint-hearted. This is serious business. If you believe God for a miracle, you believe God for a miracle, keep your eyes on him. Because he's going to do what he said. And let me just tell you, God will absolutely do what he said he would do. No, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's going to do what he said. But he's requiring us to do what we're supposed to do. You get out of the boat of security, it's not easy. And you got to keep your eyes on the master the whole time. Because the moment you turn, you're going to start to sink. And you're going to feel like, well, God gave up on me. Let me tell you, God don't give up on you. He's not going to give up on the prayers that we pray. We pray for miracles. We see miracles today. We witness. We were a miracle in every seat today. We pray for Miss Mary's grandson, Zach Oquin. That young man has been attacked by the enemy since he's been born. He was born with the skin disease where he had eczema all over him. So they've treated him very aggressively with steroids. He got steroid sick. So then they had to treat the sickness of steroid, cause his retina to detach from his eyeball. Now he's got he's 19 years old, he got an eyeball detached from the retina. And he told his grandma, "I don't believe in God no more because he ain't healing me." That's tough for a grandma to hear. It's a 19-year-old grandson. And she asked us, Friday?
Yesterday.
She asked us if we pray for him. And I said, "Miss Mary, what he needs his mind to be healed. Then the healing is going to come into play after that. Because as long as he's angry with God, God can't work. He can't work through that. So we're going to pray for his mind." And I laid in my bed last night, and I continued the prayer that was prayed here last night. And I said, "God, touch Zach.
Right.
Touch Maya. Mm-hmm. Touch Monique. Mm-hmm. Touch them. They're struggling. They're going through some stuff. God, I'm asking you to heal their mind, whatever they went on past that they're struggling with. Get them on the right path." How many of you know I'm believing God to get on the right path? I'm believing God to get on the right path. It's going to give us an opportunity to pray with Miss Mary hands on tomorrow. She's coming with purpose tomorrow. Hands on pray with Miss Mary for her grandson to be set free from this sickness and disease. So basically, I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "All his conditions are from medicine. His parents believed in modern medicine, and that's the way they went. They didn't believe in healing. And everything that's going on with my grandson is all due to medication. Fighting the steroid sickness that he got developed between being given steroids his whole life, being a young kid, and now he's in the condition he's in." How many know God's the healer?
Hallelujah.
And they're healing. Let's stand together.